little people, big people, all people, if you hear the sound of my voice, that means you are listening to another episode of Buffed Up Sports, available on all major podcasting platforms. Ladies and gentlemen, I have so much for you today. Simply didn't know how I was going to fit it all into one episode, but I'm going to do my best to pull it off. We talking Pistons as far as Cade Cunningham being robbed of the Rookie of the Year award. We talking all the big fights that have happened in boxing in the last few weeks and all the fights coming up in the next few weeks. And then, of course, I did attend a Tigers game or two this weekend. Saw some significant action take place. I'll save that for the end of the episode. So if you want to hear that, you got to wait. But first, let's get right into it. We ain't got time for jokes. We ain't got time for none of that. This ain't for play. This for real. We got to talk about boxing and Pistons with Cade Cunningham. So I had my very great friend. He was on the first version of What Y'all Talking About. So here is another What Y'all Talking About with good friend of the show, Demondez Stone. Here's the conversation. Mondez, you back, man. Tell the people what's up.
What's up?
I was thinking about this earlier, man. Because you said something to me recently that blew my mind. You've known me longer than you know your brother. Shout out, Rico. Enrico's in high school. So I was doing the math. I was like, bro, we've really known each other for 15 years.
18.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. And my brother, 14, high school. Knew you since K grade, kindergarten.
The K grade. You know what else? I know the last time you was on here, you tried to give yourself credit for this podcast coming to life, which I ain't going to knock you because you was right. You definitely was a big part of that. So, of course, every time you come on, I got to throw that in. So, we definitely appreciate you on that one.
Yeah. I'm glad you started, man. Because all you do is talk about sports since kindergarten.
I was about to say, that's all I've ever done.
You was watching sports before I was watching sports.
Cade Cunningham. They robbed my boy a Rookie of the Year. Why did they do that?
Detroit versus everybody.
It's that simple.
Hey, man. That was a robbery. He had more points. Like, I know you're going to get into the stats, but he got more points, more minutes, more responsibility. The only reason why is Detroit versus everybody. Even though we wasn't winning, Rookie of the Year, not about winning. And... But I know one thing. K, next year, watch out. He gonna remember this. When he win his MVP, he gonna say Rookie of the Year in his speech. I can hear it right now.
Hey, you know K do be talking smack, so I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah, next year it's gonna be scary for everybody.
Like you said, I got the stats pulled up. Scottie Barnes, the winner of the Rookie of the Year. First of all, I'm just gonna go ahead and say this. This was the guy I least expected to win, but let me read these stats. In 74 games this year, he averaged 15 points a game, 7.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, shooting 49% from the field. The Raptors went 48-34 this season, finishing in the East with the fifth seed. Okay, then we got Evan Mobley, 69 games this year. He averaged 15 a game, 8 rebounds, 2.5 assists, shot 51% from the field. The Cavs went 44-38, finishing ninth on the cusp of getting in the playoffs. Then you got our boy, Cade Cunningham, 64 games, 17 points, 5.5 assists a game, 5.5 rebounds a game, 42% shooting from the field. The Pistons did go 23-59, finishing 14th in the East. And truth be told, I think that's what did it for Cade. I think the Pistons having a bad record. I'm not saying Rookie of the Year should be off team success because it's never been like that. The rookies get drafted to bad teams. If you have the number one pick, that means your team was bad.
So, yeah, you're not about to change the
course. Exactly. So I was like, when did this become a thing where we celebrate the guys who end up on good teams? Scottie Barnes wins Rookie of the Year. They let this man, who I watched miss 6 straight layups in a row on national TV. Mind you, nobody was guarding him. He missed these 6 straight layups. So he's the guy that came out as Rookie of the Year. But like you said, K Kay gonna remember that. I've been telling everybody, like, it's all good. So we know. But you, well, you know how we do. You and I, every Saturday night at my crib watching boxing.
Yeah, we not watching it. We texting each other. What's going on? Who won this round? Who won that round?
Literally. So I was like, I can't have you come on and we not talk boxing. So let's get into it. Quick rundown. We had our hometown guy, Tony Harrison, beat Sergio Garcia, pretty much won every single round of the fight. And let me say this about Tony Harrison's gear. I don't even want to talk about the fight right away. I want to talk about the gear. I don't like the Pistons teal. I've made this known to everybody. I think it's ugly. I know everybody else like, oh, I like teal. Teal is cool. That's not Pistons colors. I don't like it. I hate it, to be honest. But what he wore to the ring that night, I was like, he kind of made me fall in love with the teal. I'm not going to lie, because that outfit was hard, bro. Like, it, I would buy that. Like, that whole robe and the shorts and all, I would buy that. I would wear it in a heartbeat.
And Tony Harrison always put on for the city. Every fight he wearing Detroit something, Detroit, he really put on for Detroit. I think against Charlo, he wore a Lions fit.
Yeah, yeah, he had the Lions fit on for that one. That fit was nice.
Yeah, he don't play when it comes to the city.
You know, I love seeing Tony Harrison back in the ring, especially in a dominated performance too. Like, he left it no doubt on who was going to win that fight. And shout out Tony Harrison.
Dominant. Honestly, I think he's probably the best in his division, especially when it comes down to skill. I don't know, like, mentally, because I know he, like, lost his dad and he got a different trainer. But when it comes to skill, Tony Harrison the best in the 154, for sure.
Hey, he definitely put up a good argument for it against Garcia. So we had that fight. Then after that, we had the 6'5", Sebastian Fundora. He was in action. That dude there.
Bro, he's a video game character. Like, literally.
We had Ryan Garcia. Errol Spence put on a performance. A nice performance against Ugas. So that's all the fights in just the last 3 weeks alone. The day we were just recording this. Yesterday, we had Tyson Fury. He retained his heavyweight belts. Now, let me ask. Do you think he's really going to retire?
Yes.
Really?
I only say that because he already retired once, basically. Because he took, like, a super long layoff.
True.
And he never been – he don't got, like, a problem with nobody. He just had three huge fights with Wilder. He said the only reason why he's taking this fight is because he wanted to retire in his country. So, I think he's going to retire. It's all good. He's going to race. You can't say no one's better than him, even if he don't fight Usyk, even if he don't go undisputed. We all know who the best heavyweight is.
I'm laughing because you knew how I feel about that. Because I just told you right before we recorded, like, I like Fury. Like you say, he's one of the greats, no doubt about it. But you got to go out getting undisputed, because I'm like, it shouldn't be no problem.
Yeah, it shouldn't.
It shouldn't be no problem. Like, I'm not taking away from Usyk, but like, if you Tyson Fury, you should be like, oh, I should be able to take that. That's no problem.
If he don't retire, the only fight he got is Usyk.
Now we
got
to look at the upcoming schedule. We got Oscar Valdez versus Shakur Stevenson, April 30th. Then we got Canelo going for his first light heavyweight title on May 7th. Jermell Charlo versus Brian Castano, part two. You know, we watched the first one. And you remember how mad I was when they announced it was a draw. Because I don't care what nobody say. That fight was not a draw.
It wasn't. Yeah, you had the board scoring it. You put down the board. You was like, there's no way Charlo wins. And then it's a draw. And you called it, too. You was like, why should it be a draw just because it's Charlo?
I called. Like you said, I called it. I was doing, you know, most folks that follow me on Twitter, they know when the fight's on. I do this little scorecard from the crib. So the way I scored it, I had Castano winning. And I was rooting for Charlo. So they got that second part going down May 14th. Floyd Mayweather actually has an exhibition the same day. LOL. You going to watch that?
No. I'm not.
We got David Benavidez May 21st. My favorite fight that's scheduled. Tank versus Rolly. Rolly Romero May
28th.
The trash talker. Man, that fight going to be entertainment. I don't think people realize how entertaining that fight about to be.
Man, I'm ready for the press conference.
You feel me? Feel me, though. We got George Kambosos versus Devin Haney. That got fight of the year potential.
The only reason I say not is because they're not, like, big punch.
That fight's on June 4th. We got Jamal Charlo, the twin brother of Jamel, on June 18th. Any fights I'm missing?
Joshua and Usyk.
Joshua. Oh, when is that going down?
July 20-something.
So I just named off this whole list of fights that have happened in the last few weeks, and then we got fights all the way through the first half of summer, pretty much every weekend from now until that first half of summer. Is this the best time for boxing? Like, I'm gonna let you have this moment to yourself. I want you to explain to everybody listening how exciting boxing is right now, and that it's never this many good fights in a row, or even if it's not good fights, big name fighters fighting back-to-back weekends like this. Like, go ahead, have at it. This your moment.
All I gotta say is, if you're not into boxing right now, start right now, because every single weekend is gonna be a fight. Every single weekend is gonna be a. And it's not just regular fights. It's like big names, dudes top of their division, mm-hmm. and a lot of them fighting top of division people. It's not like a star versus a bum. These are like stars and stars. So right now, it's probably the best time I ever seen in boxing. I've never seen this many fights back to back to back. So, you know, me and RJ gonna be at the crib watching all these.
No doubt about it. We've been to a pro fight before. Shout out our guy, Reggie Harris.
Yes, sir.
Now we want to go to a pro fight that's gonna be televised. If Adrian Broner gets back in the ring, are we going?
Yes. Adrian Broner, the funniest, my favorite boxer of all time. Like, literally. I'd rather watch his press conference than a fight or anything. Adrian Broner, he's a goat.
Now, we're about to talk about some dream matches. But before we talk about the biggest dream match the boxing world wants to see, what are some other fights that you want to see within the next year?
I want to see like a Tank and Haney, Tank and Loma fights. I just want to see Tank get tested, or even a Tank and Gary Russell, which is like a stretch because Gary Russell fight once a year. But that's what I want to see. Who you want to see?
I got down. I want to see Tank versus Garcia. I do want to see that because I know a lot of Ryan fans. You know how I feel about Ryan Garcia, but for those who don't, I really don't like him. I don't. Like, I think he's soft. I think he's not that good as people make him out to be. Like, I don't like him, man.
His fans might be, like, the reason why I don't like him, because he got a lot of casuals that don't
know. Oh, my God. That's why I want to see Tank.
They think he's good.
That's literally the point I was about to make. I'm like, I don't like his fans either. Hey, I'll take a Adrian Broner versus Isaac Cruz fight.
Cruz, he gonna come swinging.
Cause I was about to say, Cruz don't be care. Hey, he be looking happy and junk when he come out.
Well, when he
in that ring, he be smiling and swinging. He just. So we got Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence. We think it's finally gonna happen. Both fighters coming off pretty big wins against credible opponents. The trash talking's been going on for years. I think now's the time to finally get it done. Both fighters really want the fight to happen. Spence got 3 of the 4 belts in the division, so he said he want to take Crawford next. Then you got Crawford talking about, all right, keep my belts warm then. So talk about what a Crawford-Spence fight would mean. Like, how big of a deal is this to the boxing world for fans who not too familiar?
I'm going to put it in basketball terms.
All right.
Imagine prime LeBron and prime Michael Jordan meeting in the finals. This is like the biggest fight. If you don't watch any other fights, please watch this fight. Please. Because this fight, they're both in their prime. They both top 5 pound for pound. It could definitely change after whoever wins. Everybody wants this fight for years. And it's for undisputed. So it don't get no bigger.
The things I do to get to that fight.
The things I would sit ringside.
To sit ringside, man.
It's the perfect time to have it. Undisputed, both off good wins, both in their primes.
Yeah. It seemed like boxers are ducking and dodging each other. No pun intended. Yeah. But like, it's like they running from each other, man. And this fight, they coming head first. Like, they coming for each other. Does this fight have potential to be the best fight ever? Like, how big could this fight be? in terms of the ring?
Styles made fights. They fought a couple of common opponents. Both beat them differently. So I don't know how the fight gonna turn out if Crawford can control the pace. Because if Spencer's walking down and get off, Crawford not gonna last. But if Crawford can control the pace, move around. The one thing that's interesting, Crawford likes to switch the southpaw, but Spencer southpaw. So like, what you gonna, is they really gonna counteract what Crawford like to do and like control distance? Whoever wins, it needs a rematch. This has to be at least a number two or a trilogy. It has.
Because it can't go two. If we gonna do multiple fights, it gotta be three. I don't want to just see no two, unless the first person win both. Otherwise, they gotta give me all three.
Yeah, I gotta see more than one, unless it ends in like a knockout or something. If it go by decision, I already know it's gonna be controversial. It's gonna be close. I need to see a trilogy, to be honest. It's that big.
So when it comes to Spence and Crawford, the winner, do they become number one pound for pound?
You could debate it with Crawford, but not with Spence. Because Spence, he got one division. If he wins, that means he wiped out one division. Crawford, he wiped out 140. If he wins, he not wiped out 147. That's two undisputed. And he was a champ at 135.
Mm-hmm.
I think a unified champ, so he had two belts. So, and if you look, you compare that to Canelo. Just think about Canelo, he fight four times a year, so.
Shit. Yeah. Canelo got all my respect. He don't mind fighting.
Yeah. And he don't just fight like regular people. He fight actually
fight the champs.
Four times a year. In different weight classes. He started off at 154. He's about to fight at 175.
It's hard. It's hard for me because I see arguments for both sides. It comes down to how bad the winner of Spence and Crawford beat the other. Like, it comes down to that. Like, if it's a knockout or something.
Performance.
Yeah.
It comes down to performance.
Because, like, if it's like a close fight, then I'm going to probably still have Canelo number one.
Exactly.
But that also made me think about Spence and Crawford because I feel like, let me go ahead and throw my two cents on who I think going to win. I don't know who going to win.
Man, this one of the fights you just got to watch.
For my betting people, don't put nobody on this fight. Just keep your money. Just keep your money because it ain't even worth it.
It could be a draw. I don't know.
So we've been doing all this boxing talk. You're starting to get in the ring, starting to box a little more. Do you mind telling the people how difficult boxing is?
Yeah, boxing is like the biggest mental test ever. Like a round of boxing feels like a whole half of basketball. Like boxing, it's boxers that run 10 miles a day and still get tired in the ring. You gotta cut weight, some people cut like 15 pounds the day before. Boxing, but it's also the funnest sport ever, in my opinion. I just started and I have way more fun than anything that I ever did. So, yeah, it's like a real science. Like, I just love it.
Do you think people realize how hard it is?
I don't think people realize. I think a lot of people think they can fight. And since they can fight, they can box. Like, it's two different things.
Nate Robinson.
Nate Robinson. But, a lot of people, they be like, go 30. Boxers go 3 minutes at a time. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's how tiring it is.
Before we wrap up the boxing conversation, we got to talk about this viral video going around. I'm about to catch you off guard because I forgot to throw it in the notes, but hopefully you've seen it. Mike Tyson on the airplane. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, so you don't know what happened. So let me break it down for you. This random guy on this flight was on the same plane as Mike Tyson. So he started bothering Mike Tyson, just talking trash to him, annoying him the whole flight, right? Next thing you know, Mike Tyson went back to 1984. Mike Tyson started throwing hands on him. One of the greatest of all time. The former heavyweight champion of the world. A man who bit another man's ear off. The man who said he gonna eat somebody's children. And then said, praise Allah, in the same sense. Like, why would you mess with that man?
Bro, if I seen Mike Tyson, bro, if he like just squared up with me, I'd be like, bro, stop playing, bro. Like, I wouldn't even try it. Mike Tyson,
I put my hands up right away. Like, you know, the cops be freeze. I'm hands up with it. Like, I don't want no smoke, Mike. I'm sorry.
No smoke at all. Like, you know who Mike Tyson is. Everybody know what he looked like. Like, you don't mess with Mike Tyson.
The Lions draft coming up. We drafting the QB. We taking Aiden Hutchinson from U of M, or we taking Kayvon Thibodeau from what school is it? Oregon. Who the Lions taking?
I don't want no QB.
You don't
want no QB. We don't got no weapons.
I want a QB, but I don't know if I want a draft one. I don't want golf forever.
Yeah, I don't want golf either, but if you get a QB right now, you're just going to set him up for failure. Like, what QB going to be good with the offense we got?
So you'd rather see us take a lineman light?
Yeah.
Do you have a preference, or you just want to see us take somebody on defense?
I don't have a preference. I don't pay attention too much to the college, but I do know that that boy from Michigan, a dog.
Aiden Hutchinson. He was actually at the Tigers game last night. Of course. Got to talk about my history. I'm about to get into that in a minute. Seeing history in person, but before you get out of here, I know I keep saying that, but this is the real last question for you. Do you have anything to say about Miguel Cabrera now that I've explained to you what he means to baseball and especially Tigers fans and his legendary status?
I seen his accolades, and they look good. MVPs, 3,000 something
hits. Yeah.
He looked like he, I don't know. I just don't watch baseball.
Nah, I feel you. So, because I was explaining to you, like, you was like, who's Miggy? I was like, all right, how do I explain this? I was like, he's my Chauncey Billups. Because you
Chauncey
obviously know.
Mean the world to you.
Like, you know how I feel about Chauncey. So I was like, he's my baseball Chauncey Billups. Like, that's the legit best comparison I could give. But then when you looked up his accolades, you even said, you was like, shoot, he a tier above Chauncey, honestly. He was like, he got a whole ring. MVP.
MVPs. Did he got a ring?
He got a ring, but he didn't get it with the Tigers.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, yeah, I'm going to talk about that. When you going to let me get you into hockey and baseball, man? When you going to let me get you into hockey?
You got to force me to a game. Maybe I'll give it a try. But I can't sit down and watch it on TV.
Fair enough. I'm not going to argue with you there. So any last comments you want to make? You want to plug yourself real quick? Tell the people where to find you at?
Yeah, find me on Twitter at Demondez Stone. Demondez _ Stone. And I'll just be liking and retweeting stuff, seeing what y'all be talking about, especially Pistons Twitter.
Heck yeah.
And, follow me on Instagram at poppy.stone_. But really follow me on Twitter, Demondez_Stone.
Got you. I'll make sure I tag you so the people could go follow you. Mondez, this for real for the last question.
Talk to me.
Will you be getting back in the ring for an amateur fight? Can we expect the amateur fight from you soon? What's up with that?
Yes, Golden Gloves. Golden Gloves, people don't know, it's like the biggest tournament for like the region. A lot of it's like a really big deal for like amateur boxing. It's gonna be at the end of July, so hopefully I'm going to win that. So
cool.
Stay tuned.
We stay in tune, brother. We stay in tune. Well, I appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you so much. Hey, you was the first guest I had on here, so I'm glad we got to bring it back, especially considering this is what we do. We just talk sports, man.
Yeah, this is just a regular day.
It's a regular conversation.
Yeah.
All right, man. I know you got to get out of here. Enjoy the rest of your day. Go make your money at work. All right, ladies and gentlemen, please give Mondez a round of applause, please. Yes. Had my special guest on today. You know, like I said, that was the very first guest on the What Y'all Talking About series. So thanks to Mondez for coming back on. Appreciate him. That conversation was pretty much what you get out of us all the time. I mean, talking boxing. So as we kind of segue into what I went through this weekend, you know, this weekend I got to see a little bit of history. I'm sure you've all
heard by now what that history was. I'm sure some of you even knew I was there to witness it, but if you weren't, and if you don't know the story, well, here's story time with RJ. And y'all all know, story time with RJ seems to always be a little lengthy. But I can't help it when a lot happens. You know what I'm saying? Like, when a lot happens, you gotta tell the story and you gotta tell it right. Wednesday night, Tigers are playing. Miggy goes off for 3 hits, which I didn't expect. So I go to bed mad. Because I said earlier in the week when Miggy with the 3,000 chase, I said, he get 1 hit away, I'm buying a ticket to the next game. I said, in fact, if he's 2 hits away, I'm buying a ticket to the game, right? That was my deal, 1 or 2. So Wednesday night, I go to bed mad because he 1 hit away. And I'm like, I'm not going to be able to make it Thursday. I got class, but then class got canceled. So I'm like, ooh, I got a chance. But now I realize I got the radio show to do at 10, had some stuff to do after that. And on top of that, I still ain't got nobody to go with. I went home, watched the game. I'm like, all right, Mickey, get it over with. So I'm like, I probably won't even make it this weekend anyway. The later it got into Thursday's game with the Yankees, the Tigers' first Yankees game, Miggy hadn't got the 3,000 hit yet. So, of course, I start going on Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, and the Tigers' website. I'm looking at all these websites looking for tickets for Friday night's game. Because I'm like, Miggy don't do it Thursday, I will be at Comerica Park Friday. I will not miss this moment for the world. Miggy's at bat Thursday first, the Yankees. That at bat in the 8th inning determined everything. It determined if I go or not, and I had mixed feelings about it. The walk was wrong. Aaron Boone is a menace for it. He would rather walk Miguel Cabrera than Austin Meadows. If it were me, I would have walked Austin Meadows, because you see, Austin Meadows made him pay. I don't blame the crowd for booing what they booed at the Yankees too, because that was just horrible. Since Miggy did not get the hit because he was walked, that changed a lot for me. Literally from the time Miggy was at bat until as soon he was walked, them tickets shot up so fast and they were taken so fast, it was ridiculous. Ticketmaster had straight up crashed. Shout out to my guy Matthew, because I actually ran into Matthew at the game, but he was saying Ticketmaster crashed for him too. So I'm like, all right, it's obviously a problem. Nobody can get a ticket right now. Then the crazy thing was StubHub and SeatGeek were a little more than Ticketmaster and the Tigers website. So I was like, all right, we're going to the Tigers website. This is my best bet. I was able to get in and get some tickets for Friday night's game, 6:40 versus the Rockies. I got a chance to see Miggy get 3,000. When I got the tickets, I'm not going to lie, I didn't look at the weather before I got the tickets, but I did look after. Because I always figured, I said, you know what? I said, if it's that bad of weather, the game won't happen. So I wasn't tripping. After I bought the tickets, the weather had 50, light rain maybe. When I went to bed Thursday night, that's what the weather said. Friday morning, I wake up, it has 40s and rain all throughout the game. But you know what? I said, all right, maybe the rain won't be heavy enough because I'm not missing this game for the world, right? So that's where I was at with it. At this point, my cousin, we're already playing. Because I got my cousin to go with me. We're already planning on going. I told him, just lay her up. We ain't missing it. We get all the way down to Detroit. I'm literally stuck in traffic between Fisher and Grand River, right by the Tigers garage, when my mom called saying the game's postponed. I said, do you mean no game tonight, or like a rain delay, like there might be a game tonight? She like, I don't know. I said, why'd you call then? You ain't no help. Next thing you know, Johnny Kane tweet. Shout out Johnny Kane from Bally Sport. He tweets, game's postponed, makeup game, 6:40 on Saturday. Now I'm upset. Because here I was, ready to see history. Now it's snatched away from me. I'm back in jeopardy of missing it. Again, not even gonna get a chance. The whole reason I bought a ticket was to get a chance. I said, he don't get it. At least I had a chance, you know? But now, I don't even get the chance again. Then to make my Friday night worse, I wasted so much gas riding around between going to Detroit for a game that didn't even be played, and then couldn't even find nowhere to eat. Everywhere was packed. And I'm not even talking in Detroit. I was by MJR. Y'all know the movie theater is more fun at MJR. The movie theater where before the movie plays, they do the little clap thing. And you better do the clap. I finally settled on Mongolian for dinner. Good. While at dinner, I don't email the Tigers box office. I don't call. I'm trying everything, trying to get a ticket exchange for 6:40 to 1 p.m. game, because the Tigers aren't saying anything about what people could do about that, because they know the real reason people trying to go. Nobody answers. Then as I finish eating, I get the email of emails, and God answered my prayers. They were like, you can keep your ticket for 6:40 game and get half off for the first game of the doubleheader on Saturday. No brainer for me. I bought that ticket for that 1 o'clock game and called it a day. Saturday comes. I had no idea the Red Wings played at 12:30. Again, the Tigers played at 1. So you already know downtown was jumping. Why did they schedule the Red Wings' last home game of the season on the same day as the Tigers' biggest game of the season? Why would they do that? I understand they didn't get it was going to be the Tigers' biggest game of the season going into it, but you still scheduled two big games back to back in the same block. Why? So of course downtown's hard getting down there, trying to find a place to park. So I get to the ballpark, I get to my seat, wink wink. I said, I post on my socials. I said, this is a great day to see history. Then Miggy goes to bat. And first, I told my cousin, pull out his phone. He like, why? I said, boy, pull up the phone and record. He, why? I said, you about to see history. I had to explain it to him because he not into baseball as much. So I had to break it down. Of course, I'm breaking it down. Like, yo, this is what you about to see. This is something you're going to want to keep. Of course, Miggy goes up. He gets the hit. The place goes crazy. It was so loud. It was fireworks and you could not hear them. In fact, I was like, did I even see fireworks? Like, am I pretty confident I saw fireworks? I go back to watch my video of it. And yes, there were fireworks. But again, it was just that loud. You could not hear the fireworks. I mean, everyone was happy. I'm up here jumping up and down like a little kid. If you seen my video by now, you know how crazy I was going. Everybody's high-fiving one another. The place going crazy. It's packed. It's like a playoff game. Even the nosebleeds, no seats available. It's crazy. And I just loved that moment was special because Miggy's family was sitting right in front of us. So they went sprinting out into the field. We saw the players running out. Like, obviously, I've never seen that type of moment in person. I've seen the milestones on TV and whatnot. It's always been cool to watch when they stop the game to give a player their props. But to see it in person was so special and worth it. But I just loved how even after Miggy got the 3,000, every time he went that bat, even in the second game, everyone would rise to their feet. It was like must-watch TV or must-watch situation. Like, you had no choice but to see what was about to happen. I loved it. The atmosphere in Comerica was great. Like, y'all heard, I just had Mondez on. I had to explain to him what Miggy means to me. He was like, he honestly didn't even know who Miguel Cabrera was. I'm like, yo, you know how Chauncey Billups is for me. He like, yeah. He's my baseball Chauncey Billups. He's like, oh, he really must be your guy. I'm like, heck yeah. He looked up the accolades and he like, oh, he above Chauncey. Like y'all just heard in the interview. Like, he like, yo, this dude, I could tell why you like him so much. I've been watching the Tigers more than half my life, and he's been on the Tigers as long as I've been watching. So when I say he's my guy, he's my guy. Then my cousin was asking, why does everyone seem to only get so loud for Miggy instead of the other players on the Tigers? Then I had to explain that. I said, look here. I said, a lot of players on the Tigers are young, right? So they haven't had a chance to live up to that Miggy success yet. And then also, no players on the team have been on the Tigers as long as Miggy. So I'm like, the fans have connected with them and we've got a chance to watch him grow as a person. And he's done so much for the franchise that we adore him. We do. It's just that connection we have with him because he's been loyal to the team. 15 years with the Tigers. And then on top of that, he's one of the greatest of all time. Not just one of the greatest Tigers, but one of the greatest of all time. I mean, let me put this into perspective, folks. Miggy's 3,000 hit put him tied for 33rd all-time on the MLB hit list. Then he got another hit that put him in 32nd place alone. Miggy's one of seven players to hit 500 home runs and have 3,000 hits. He's one of three players. Well, he will be one of three players to have 500 home runs, 3,000 hits, and 600 doubles, which he's going to get any day now because he's only one double away. So that just puts into perspective how big of a legend he is. Like, you want to talk about statues? Everybody knows at Comerica Park they have statues. He's going to have his own statue one day, folks. Like, kid you not, he's going to have a statue one day at Comerica Park or wherever the Tigers choose to play years from now. The statue will be there because he deserves it. Sunday comes. I'm trying to recover from the doubleheader. Let me tell y'all, doubleheaders are not for the weak. They are not. They will drain you out between that sun and, not for the weak. In fact, Sunday is the day I'm recording this. So when y'all listen to this, know that's the day I'm talking about. You know, I was just thinking a while back to, I think it was my last podcast episode where I said the only reason I go to an April game was to see opening day or Miguel Cabrera reach 3,000 hits. I was like, that will be the only reason I go to a game in April. And I mean, I was a man of my word because I've not been to an April game. And the reason I went was to see Cabrera reach 3,000 hits. Simple. That was all I wanted. I was saying it all week, all year. I was like, that's all I wanted to do. And I did just that. I got just that. I missed Miggy 500th home run. And I was upset over that. Like, I didn't even get a chance to go to a game. Like, I didn't even buy a ticket for a game the week before he did it. And then he did it on the road. So nobody out here this way really got to see it in person. But I know a few people that went to a game hoping to see it. I didn't do that. And I regretted it because I was like, dang, I wish I had at least tried. And I think back to last summer. I'm hanging out with a friend of mine. And while we're hanging out, the Tigers game was on when Miggy was at 499 home runs. So, like, every time he went that bat, I would be like, hold on. Let me watch this real quick. And then my friend started laughing because, like, I would know when Miggy was about that bat. It was even one time we were in the car riding around. We had music playing and whatnot, listening to the radio. And out of nowhere, I just said, yo, the Tigers game. I flip it to 97.1. Dan Dickerson talking about Miggy about the bat. And my friend's like, do you have Miggy senses? Like, what is it? Like, how do you know every time he's about the bat? And so that was even funny because even this go around, my friend saw the video and was like, I know you was going crazy. I'm like, yeah. Because they probably one of the only few people that know how it was when Miggy would bat, like how I would act in person. But I want to wrap up by saying I never saw the TV version of the hit. So I watched that, see if there's anything I missed. And I just got goosebumps again. I watched my video over and over and over again. And I got goosebumps just because it still hasn't kicked in. I was there for it. It like feels like a dream. I'm like, I really was there for that. It just stands out to me because when Kobe Bryant died, I was sick because I was like, I never got to see Kobe in person. His last game at the Palace, I wanted to go to so bad, but I was younger. Times was different. It's not like I could have just got up and go. So I was hurt. So I was like, I'll never let that happen again. I was like, I ain't missing nobody else for another big moments. So that was the main. And then just knowing everything I went through in the last year, I'm like, man, YOLO, I'm going to this game. Skip it. I don't even care. And I did just that. I went to the game. I don't regret one bit of it. Made some sacrifices to go, but it was all worth it in the end, and that's what matter. Like I said, I keep watching this video, I got goosebumps. I tweeted before I went to the game, I was like, I gotta take a picture in front of the 3,000 milestone signs they be having at Comerica Park. And so I got a before and after. Y'all gotta check my socials for it, but I got a before and after. I got it when he was at 2,999, and then I got one. I didn't get the 3,000, but I got 3,001. So I was like, hey, we take it. But yeah, that was my day, man. That was my weekend, shoot. So I guess I'm gonna wrap it up there. Again, thanks to Mondez. Shout out my cousin, Kayshawn. Y'all heard his promotion a few weeks ago on the podcast, Munch Vending. Check it out, please. And lastly, Don't forget to follow me on Instagram and Twitter. My handle is the same for both accounts at RJ_Hunt36. Send me a friend request on Facebook at RJ Hunt. Thank you for listening. I hope you come back to hear more episodes. If you can, please subscribe, leave a rating, leave a review, please. Please, please. I love to hear the feedback. And if you love today's episode, send it to a friend. Now, if you want to financially support the show, go to anchor.fm/buffedupsports/support to become a supporter. Again, that link is anchor.fm/buffedupsports/support. Please become a supporter today, please. Now, just remember to follow these words. Spread love. Keep your chest out. Hold your head up. Show off them pretty teeth. And don't you worry about a thing. Till next time, y'all be good out there. God bless you all. Peace.